Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi everybody.
Hello everyone.
My name is David Bell.
I am Tom Ryman.
And we just watched Hell Boy.
Hell Boy.
Goes straight to Hell Boy. That's what that song's about.
On an island off the coast of Scotland, something was summoned from the depths of hell. Something that would end mankind.
This thing you worried about, did it show up?
Oh, yes. You did.
Tom?
Yeah?
What did you think of Hellboy?
I really liked this movie.
Oh, no. Why?
Because it is... just the fucking metalest, dumbest movie.
It reminded me of Van Helsing, which is not a compliment, but I also know that you sometimes enjoy watching Van Helsing.
No, oh, no. I mean, we've watched it twice this past year, and it is
that's
not
true.
Good.
Twice is more than most people do, but yeah.
Well, yeah.
I thought this movie was a mess. It hurt my brain at times to watch because I was trying to figure out what was happening.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it doesn't start until about 30 minutes into the movie.
It does have three beginnings.
Yeah, and it's fundamentally broken in a lot of ways, I thought. I have, like, point-by-point things where I'm just like, why did they do this? That when Hellboy fights something...
Yes.
It's cool. But that doesn't happen that much.
I disagree. There's several action sequences.
Yeah, there's like literally several, like a handful, like two, maybe three. There's him fighting the giants.
Well, there's him fighting the vampire. There's him fighting the giants. There's him.
Does the vampire really count? That
kinda. There's the pig man killing everybody in the abbey.
Mm-hmm. That's not a fight.
Well.
I'm saying when it's literally him fighting other things.
Sure.
When it's
he fights the pig man.
Bebop. His name is Bebop, Tom.
Bebop.
Overall, I didn't understand a lot of what was happening or why a lot of it was happening. We can start with that wrestling scene, which never matters. Doesn't play a role in the film at all.
They don't even establish
who that person is. They do through ADR.
They do through ADR, yeah.
And it's just like, oh, it's another agent, but I don't care emotionally because it's the first scene of the movie. And he's like, you were my buddy. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't even know this guy's face. That baffled me immediately. I even want to back up to the flashback scene with Ian McShane narrating. Mm-hmm. That didn't feel like he knew, like that felt like they pulled dialogue from a scene and put it in. That was immediately abrasive and bad looking. It was all gray and like,
yeah,
it was like the mythology that they throw you into this is insane.
It is. It's hilarious.
Yes.
Fucking King Arthur shows up.
Yeah. Merlin shows up.
Merlin has a role.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. This is the underlying theme of this movie, is characters keep showing up for single scenes, giving information, and then leaving. That's most of how, like, the Baba Yaga, who just randomly shows up to give them information.
One of my favorite sequences.
It's a cool sequence. It doesn't have a place in the movie, though.
That sequence is so fucking crazy and metal and insane.
It is. There's some really good imagery
in
this.
She's eating child stew.
There's great imagery in this, but it doesn't amount to anything. That scene was really cool, but it didn't... That character doesn't play into the plot at all. It literally shows up out of nowhere, gives him information, and then he leaves it. And then he's just like, I know where to go next.
Well, because she tells him.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying, is characters show up. There's the part where they get to the tree the second time, those witches. Mila Jovovich shows up to her old tree, and those witches just sort of walk up to her. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh, hi. It's been 1,500 years, but you're here. And then she like yells at them, and then the scene ends, and one of the witches is like, so if you want to go know where to go next, go to Merlin. It's here. And then we never see them again. And then he goes to Merlin. Merlin's like, okay, so here's what you got to do next. Mm-hmm. And then he's gone. This is a very badly written movie. The exposition in this is...
Oh, yeah.
So forced.
Yeah, there's a lot of exposition in this movie.
I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, I do.
Because there's a lot of fun moments, but
I was giggling like an asshole the whole time.
Like, it all felt so forced. Like, why were the giant hunters in the movie?
I don't know. They were a society that was like, you know, it's another monster hunting society. I assume it's probably from the comics.
Right.
But they're just there to have that sequence where he fights a bunch of giants.
Exactly. But not only that, all right. So like he has the Mexican wrestler scene, which was very abrasive. And then he goes back to Ian McShane, and Ian McShane's like, I need you to help with fight giants. Mm-hmm. And then he goes to that place and they take him out hunting giants.
They take him on a fox hunt for giants.
But then they betray him right where the giants are. Why do that?
So they can say he was killed by the giants?
Yeah. Then bring his body there? Because for obvious reasons, it doesn't work out for them. It's such a baffling decision that it felt like they just needed him to get there to fight giants. They could have at least even like knocked him out at their weird society and brought him as bait for giants. Like just made a better way of doing it.
That would have been funny.
Yeah. Like it's weird that they like bring him to this bridge right near where the giants are. And then they try to betray him. And it's like, this is a dumb idea. Like he's screaming. The giants hear them and come over. It's little things like that that just felt like this could be very easily fixed. But also, like, that should have been maybe the opening sequence. Because so far at this point in the movie, we're not meeting any characters that we're going to stay with.
We just Hellboy and Ian McShane.
Yeah, and it's 30 minutes in, and then we finally meet Alice. Mm-hmm. And they don't really introduce how they know each other at all.
Well, it's in the dialogue.
Is it?
Yeah.
What does he say?
He says when he recognizes, like, oh, I haven't seen you since you were a kid, so this is what you're doing with all your gifts. So like knowing who Hellboy is and
they establish that they know each other.
Right. So you don't get the specifics of it, but like just knowing who the character is, you're like, oh, okay, this is some kid he dealt with on one of his ghost busting missions.
And I guess who's
obviously a clairvoyant.
Showed up 30 minutes into the movie and ends up being a main character. It was so off-putting.
Yeah, okay.
Also, she gains soul-punching power in the third act, and they literally say they literally have him go like, where'd you get that power? And she's like, I don't know.
Yeah. The fairies must have
given it to me.
They do make a joke out of it. Like, yeah, she's clearly surprised when she punches something that its soul flies out.
Right. They're making a joke out of the fact that they wrote it bad, though. Because they're like, yeah, and then she does this power that she didn't have for the previous scenes where she could have used it. And it's like, well, why does she only have the power now and not in the previous scenes? I don't know. Make her surprised. Make her be like, oh, wow, that's fucked up that I have this power suddenly. Like, that's what it is. It's bad writing. This movie is very badly written. From beginning to end.
Yeah.
It definitely has a good director.
Mm-hmm.
Is there... Okay.
It does have a good director.
It does. But I was pained for a lot of it. I was shifting in my seat.
Really?
Yeah, because it was.
I was just delighted.
Well, what were you delighted by? Like
To me, this movie was a 2-hour episode of Metalocalypse.
Right.
This is to me, this is precisely what this movie is.
Right, but it wasn't funny. Like, I didn't laugh.
I thought it was funny. Well, that's sure.
And it didn't. There wasn't enough of that. Like, there was some, it came and went, but there was a lot of scenes where it's just people talking. And when it's between Hellboy and Ian McShane, I was like, I can't understand a fucking word these people are saying. They're just like,
just mumbling at each other.
Yeah, like so an, there was just... Like
Chief Hopper and Al Swearengen mumbling at each other.
They're great actors.
Yeah. I didn't have a problem with it.
I was
delighted the entire when the hell giant show up at the end. Are you kidding me?
That was cool. It lasted
five minutes. Yeah, yeah.
That was the thing. Is the things that I thought were cool were fleeting.
Yeah.
It was that, and basically him fighting the giants. Like those two sequences, I was like, "This is really cool looking. I really enjoy this." But everything else was clunky. And like, I couldn't follow it. I didn't, like, I had no attachment to any of the characters.
Really?
Not really. They introduce Hellboy in the most anticlimactic way.
It's very much just a, like, they don't stand on ceremony. They're like, you know who this is.
Yeah.
There's no fanfare to his introduction.
Right, there isn't at all. And then they just sort of jump, like, throw you into this, again, this, like, storyline between him and a guy that I was like, oh, this guy must come back later. He doesn't. It's so weird. It doesn't inform his character.
It does, though.
He gives a warning.
It does. It does inform Hellboy's character. That's his emotional arc in the movie, such as it is him struggling with why I'm a monster and I'm killing monsters. Like, why did I have to kill this guy who was my friend just because he turned into a vampire?
Right.
Like, it does. And that, then he, that is his arc in the movie. So, I mean, I agree it was strange, but it does inform his character.
They could do that with the giant scene. Again, him killing the giants could be him lamenting that. They could have started... They could have started after the giant scene, honestly, but they could have started with the giant scene.
Or like, they could have started with him and that guy going into the vampire nest, and then they're fighting vampires and that guy gets bit by a vampire.
Right. I just don't I don't think they should add more time to this movie.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I understand why they didn't make it the giants, because the giants are just gigantic monsters that are trying to eat him, whereas this guy was actually his friend. So that's how, like, that's the line starts to get blurry for him, is the point.
Right.
It's like the giants are just sharks, basically.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess they introduced the giant hunters.
I'm gonna stand this movie real hard, Dave. I'm like,
I mean, this is a bad movie.
Sure,
it's a bad movie that has some cool imagery.
I fucking loved
it. But it's so badly written.
It is very clunkily written. Yeah.
It is exhausting at times. It was exhausting for me. It needed to be about a half hour shorter. Because, again, it felt like I got through 30 minutes of it, and it was like, you're really now starting movie? Oh, my God. Like, they introduced two different headquarters in it.
Yes.
They have the Colorado one where they're like, welcome to the Colorado headquarters. And then they never come back to it. And then they're like, welcome to the London headquarters, which they actually do come back to. And they use. And it's like, why did you have that? Also, why is Hellboy surprised about the London headquarters? Has he never been there?
Maybe not.
How long has he been working for them?
Since World War II.
Right. I mean, it feels like he shouldn't. I don't know. It felt like they needed what they had in the Guillermo del Toro ones, where they had an outsider looking in.
Just for the first one, you know. By the time you hit the second one, you're like, we don't need that character.
Right.
You can just have it be Hellboy.
this isn't a third one. This is basically the same plot of the first Hellboy. They even do the same. They do. Well, it's Hellboy being the destructor and then ripping off his horns. And they even show the scene where he's created.
Yeah.
And it's not as good as the Guillermo del Toro.
This one has the advantage of, and it only matters to comic book fans, but it has Thomas Hayden Church as Lobster Johnson.
It does, and he's barely in it.
He is barely in it, but he's fucking great. I just want a whole movie about that character.
Yeah. Was he the weird Nazi hunter, or was he
He was the guy that burns a lobster's claw into Rasputin's forehead.
Oh, right.
And says, "Beware the claw, because I come to inflict justice."
Right. That was the sequence where I was like, okay, I assume this is just for the comic book character.
Yeah,
like, it fans.
It's only for the comic book fans. Because that character is psychotic.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is I would get this maybe as, all right, this is just for the comic book fans. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's fine. It's going to bomb then. Like, that's why it has a 15% on Rotten Tomatoes.
For
because
sure.
15% of the people watching know what the hell is going on. Because they don't really bother to explain. Like, that agent at the beginning, I'm sure he's a character.
Oh,
and
I
it's
don't
like,
know.
I assume he is because they treat him like he's someone that we would already know. And it's I don't know who that guy is. I don't know why he...
I'm not sure that's indicative of him being a character, because I sure don't recognize him. I think that's just a casualty of a clunky screenplay where they're putting emotional weight on it because they quickly informed us that Hellboy is friends with him.
Right. And it's, again, that felt like that should be like mid-movie scene. Like, it felt like there was a beginning that was cut out of this movie. Like, it feels like this movie was 3 hours long in the initial cut, and they were like, oh, Christ, how do we fix this? Because nothing leads into the next thing naturally at all.
No.
Like, he gets rescued by, what's her name, Alice?
Yeah.
He gets rescued by her just randomly. She just drives a van up.
Yeah, a couple of guys drive her in a van. I assume she knew where he was via her clairvoyance.
I guess. Yeah. And then, like I said, there's just random characters show up and say, okay, here's where you need to go next. And then it felt like they had ideas for some really cool scenes that were from the comic. And again, maybe they originally wrote a script that made sense and linked all this stuff together. But somewhere down the line, they just kept trimming and trimming the vital, like, transitional sequences that would get us to these places. And so it became this thing where I felt like I was watching a dream, where it was just like, why are they here right now? What are they doing? What are they talking about?
I don't know.
This character?
I agree that it doesn't make organic sense, like it goes randomly from scene to scene, but I was never confused as to why they were there.
I knew they were there because the movie told them to be there.
Exactly. The movie very sweatily tells you why they're going to a place and what they're supposed to be doing there. So it's not like you're ever confused. It's just like, this is madness.
Right. There were parts like... Maybe I missed the dialogue, like how they got to the fucking tree. Oh, wait, no, the Baba Yaga told them.
Baba Yaga
It's
tells
more
them
like, I guess the more questions are like, why is the Baba Yaga here? Why
well,
did they
you
randomly
do,
decide?
Well, you do see her earlier with the pig man.
Really?
Yeah. I think she tells the pig man where to find the Mila Jovovich's head.
I don't remember.
It's a brief scene in the beginning.
Yeah.
And it leads into him attacking the monastery and just fucking going full.
All right, there's a monastery.
Werewolf pig on people. Were pig on people.
Right.
I fucking love that pig. that stupid pig. He rips that guy's tongue out. God damn it! This movie is so metal.
Is he a changeling? His motivation
yeah.
was.
Yeah, he's a changeling.
Yeah. Why is he choosing to be a pig?
I don't think he chose to be a pig. I think it was the magic went bad because it didn't work.
Okay. Because his motivation is that he fairy switched baby Alice with him.
Yeah.
And then Hellboy called him out.
Yeah.
And he's mad at Hellboy Yeah. So did he resurrect that woman, Mila Jovovich, to get revenge on Hellboy because he wants to be a person because he switched him as a baby?
Partially. So he says
the reason
why
she's resurrected?
Yeah.
So he's the real bad guy.
Kinda. He was a changeling, right? So he wanted to live a life as a human baby. Like, he was like, I was going to have an awesome life, but she had to ruin it. And so now he has to, like, hide, like, all the rest of the monsters, because otherwise they'll just get killed. So it's partially he wants revenge on Hellboy, and partially, well, if I resurrect Queen Mila, she's going to smoke all the humans, and all the monsters can just, you know, do whatever they want to. You know, own a franchise at Burger King, you know, play soccer, you know, whatever they want to do. They just be free to do it. He isn't. Like, he's like the cipher. He's the Joe Pantoliano of this film.
Right.
He is a villain, and he's sort of like a catalyst, but he's not like the villain.
But he's the one who decided to do all this stuff.
Yes.
How did he learn about it?
I don't know. Maybe the Baba Yaga told him.
They seem to also know a lot about, when did they learn what was at stake?
Like,
Hellboy, Ian McShane.
Uh-huh.
Because they sort of, like, at what point, they seem confused about what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they, by the end, they, like, know exactly what's happening.
I don't remember them
learning.
I think Ian McShane knows who the Queen is, and then he's, like, they come into, like, the London base, and he's doing all this research, and that's when he and Hellboy get in a big fight, and Hellboy storms off and gets snatched by the Baba Yaga.
Right.
So I assume they're just, like, she's a big figure in this mythology, so there are, like, Ian McShane is aware of who she is, and he's just, like, finding the particulars about what exactly we need to do to stop her, I assume. Like,
right.
The movie doesn't tell you all this. He knows who she is, and then you see him doing research. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I wasn't willing to meet the movie.
I didn't need that information. Like, they all just see, like, they establish him as, like, this super old school, like, he's been a Ghostbuster for, like, you know, 100 years or however, because
right.
He has, like, extended life. So I just assume, you know, he just sort of, like, knows what all the big bad ghosts are.
Right. I guess I can see the idea of not caring that it's badly written and that it's really clunkily kind of lurching through the premise, like, through the plot.
Yeah.
If I, like, the visuals were enough for me, but I guess they weren't enough for me. Like, the R rating.
Yeah.
It starts with an eye getting picked out and Ian McShane, like, listen to this fucking story. And I was like, all right, you're already making me not like the R rating because you're really like, we can swear. And, like, the gore, it was all mostly, like, CG.
Yeah.
And it was
for sure.
CG blood. And it was sort of like it wasn't anything I hadn't seen before. And it just didn't do it for me because it wasn't like Doom level. Like, cool to me. Like, there was some cool stuff. Like, that pig man is cool. Is a cool, I think it's a costume. The Baba Yaga is cool looking. Definitely,
yeah.
Those demons at the end were really cool.
Yeah.
But there were just too many scenes of people talking or, like, character stuff between characters that they weren't really established. Like, that fucking, the guy who turns into a cheetah. What the fuck was he all about? I was the whole time.
He was
like,
a werecheetah
or not?
He
and where
was
did you come
a
from?
Werecheetah.
He's so, like, and it's again another case where, like, Hellboy doesn't really know him. No one, like, like, he's introduced 35 minutes in.
Ian McShane knows him,
right? It was. Like, I don't know how big this agency is. I don't know how secretive it is. It's a lot of mythology
yeah.
to throw at me. And the idea that it's like, well, we've all seen the other movies. It's like, that's true. But this isn't a sequel to those movies.
I assume that's the only reason we see the Colorado base is that they're like, well, it could be a sequel, except Ian McShane is alive again because his character was played by John
right.
Hurt in the first movie.
Yeah, no, it's they show his origin again, and it's a different. They get that little Nazi robot in there.
They do. They show him and Rasputin and a couple other characters who didn't make it into the movie but are from the comic.
Right.
Like the Nazi with the 3D glasses.
Oh yeah, that fucking guy. He was like Biff's henchman.
Yeah.
Back to the Future.
Yep.
But Billy a Nazi. Zane.
Well, Billy Zane's not the 3D glasses guy, but anyway.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same. They stood next to each other, so they're the same guy. That's how that's how you become Billy Zane, is you stand next to him and he osmoses into you.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
I agree with you that the clunkiness of the plot doesn't matter if you're enjoying what's on screen.
Right.
And I super was, and you obviously weren't. So it's just like,
yeah, it didn't pull me in at any point. The first vampire fight,
mm-hmm.
the only vampire fight, it's just like a Van Helsing vampire. Like it looks like a vampire I've seen in a bunch of worse movies.
Yeah.
And it was just like, all right, like and again, at that point, I was still trying to figure out, like, because he introduces Hellboy like he's a celebrity in that scene, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, and people seemed to recognize him and like boo him. And it was like, okay, what's going, is Hellboy famous in this one? Like, I was too busy trying to figure out what the fuck was happening in the plot.
or he could just casually drink at a bar. I guess people must know who he is at this point.
But then sometimes people seem afraid of him.
Yeah.
And so I spent most of this movie just trying to figure out the rules of the movie and like how the characters knew each other or like how well they knew each other. Or again, like why any of the King Arthur stuff. He's the descendant of King Arthur, Tom.
Yeah, he is.
That I burst out laughing in the theater.
He's the King of England when the movie ends.
Yeah. I burst into laughter because I was like, how much fucking more can they do? Because they kept doing these flashbacks. There was always like introducing things and then they would add flashbacks.
There was a lot of flashbacks.
And that's how it is with that Alice character. They're just like, yeah, long time. How's it going? And then they're talking and they're having like this emotional scene together. And I was like, do I need to care about this character? Because the last like three characters they introduced this way just died. And so it was just like, is this going to be a character? And then they do that flashback with the baby. And it was like, oh, okay. So he does know her. He knows the parents. This is how. And they did that with King Arthur where they're like, they like flashback to his mother giving birth or something.
Yes.
That was insane.
His mother falling in love with a goat demon. And I was like, fuck, yes. She's riding on the back of this goat demon.
Merlin gives a fucking projection of the Excalibur and was like, take it. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? And he grabs it and then it cuts to him on a dragon. And
I was like,
what the fuck is happening?
It was a vision of him destroying the world.
Yeah. And they reveal it to be a vision. And then Merlin's like, no, my magic crumbles away.
Crumbles away to dust. Like,
And then the sword like disappears and then he has to go somewhere else and get the sword again. Mm-hmm. And it was like, wait, so was the sword not there? Did he like magically project the sword?
Yes.
Does he have that power?
He said that.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
When did he say it?
Right before he says, as he's crumbling into dust, he said, no, I used the last of my magic to bring Arthur's sword here. Now it's going to return to him, the only person who was worthy to wield it, I guess. And
he
crumbles
okay.
into dust, and
see,
he's like, at least I'm not going to be here to see you fucking ruin the world as he
really
turns into dust.
He blasts him as he's crumbling
he
to dust.
He does!
That was insane.
And I don't blame him.
Like, this is,
because
like
he was like,
I used
the last of my mummy powers to bring this sword here, and you fucking didn't take it, and now I'm turning into dust, because you're hemming and hawing about pulling this sword out,
even though
it looks metal as fuck.
Here's
you
the difference.
Take that sword.
Here's why I'm, like, confused, and I think I don't think I'm asking for a lot here.
Okay.
When, in the Guillermo del Toro Hellboy...
Mm-hmm.
He goes to a graveyard and he's like, I need information. And he picks up a body and he says like an enchantment.
Yes.
And the body comes alive.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, they do things like that, like Merlin, but Merlin's just sort of alive already. He just like lifts up this floorboard and Merlin's a skeleton and just goes, hi, how's it going? I'm Merlin. And then at the end, he's like, no, my magic, and like laughs. But it's like, that's so fucking lazy. Like
it is.
I'm not asking for much. Like, because again, the Guillermo del Toro, it's like, oh yeah, he just does a chant. And it's like, oh, okay, so this is like just a tool he has. I'm good. And so they don't bother with any of that stuff. And they don't bother to explain how the world works at all. And when they do, it's something like, oh, I guess those fairies gave me a punching power that I didn't know about until right now. And so it just felt so insulting. Because
I guess so.
They weren't trying. I'm talking a lot here. It's just that it didn't feel like they were trying at all to like explain anything, and was just thought it was the imagery alone was going to make me like enjoy it. And I just couldn't, because I didn't know what the fuck the rules were or what anything was happening or which characters to root for, because they might randomly die. And so it was just sort of a mess for me.
That's fair. I will say I do miss that aspect of the Hellboy character that's not really in this film, is that he does use magic and charms and stuff.
Yeah.
And he references stuff like that in this movie, but we never actually see him do it. When it comes down to face a monster, he just sort of punches it or shoots it.
Yeah, this mostly
so I do miss that aspect of the character that's not really in this film.
Right. This made me really want to watch the Guillermo del Toro ones a lot, because I love the character, I love the world, and it wasn't giving me enough of that, where it's like, yeah, he's like a... So I mean, I'm sure everybody says the Guillermo del Toro one is nothing like the comics, that's fine.
Well, it is and it isn't.
Right.
The first one kind of is almost directly based on the Seed of Destruction, the first graphic novel.
Okay.
But it adds a lot of stuff. The second movie is just its own thing, but it's very much...
It's in the same world.
It very much, yeah. It is absolutely in the same world and stuff. And like Hellboy just kind of fights his way through like folklore and stuff.
Right.
So I'm a little surprised to hear you say that you're into those two movies and you love the world of those two movies, yet the world of this movie was confusing to you. I'm like, it's the same kind of rule set where it's just like...
No, but they don't...
All mythology and folklore is true.
Well, for one, the plot of those movies makes sense. Like, they go from A to B to C, and it all makes sense. And, like, the characters you start in the first 30 minutes with...
Yeah.
Are the characters that you will continue
misunderstand me. This movie is badly written. But.
Yeah, in terms of the rules and mythology, again, we have an outside character in those to be like, what's going on? How does this work? But like, for example, those monsters in the subway in Hellboy, where they're like, one dies, two spawns. And they set a rule there. And it's like, okay, cool. That's a cool thing. Or they explain like these weird creature realms in the sequel, where it's like, yeah, creatures are hiding in plain sight, and if you put on these glasses, here they are. But in this one, he's on an elevator, and it just randomly falls into this world.
Yeah.
And then he talks to the Baba Yaga, and then he randomly gets plopped away, and and they don't explain the rules of that. It's a lot of, like, she touches someone's head and vomits their soul out. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, what is that?
Yeah, I mean, we know she's a spirit medium. And when they get into that room, she's like, her spirit's still here. So she runs over to the body and touches it and then throws the person up. That's right. Establishing it so that when she does it later, we understand what that is.
But it doesn't establish why that happens the way it happens. Like, when she's vomiting out this monster snake soul, like, my thought was like, is she human? Like, because that's not a human thing. That's not a human psychic thing. Like, it would be one thing if they, like, possessed her body. That's a cliche we've all seen. And that's a really cool imagery, the vomiting it out. But, like, it was that thing of, like, what is that? Is she some sort of creature? Is that an extension of her? Is it the ghost form coming out of her? In that case, why is it coming out of her mouth? Like, it just seemed like a cool thing.
Exactly. It's a visual choice.
Yeah.
Like, it could look like anything, and that's just how the director decided he wanted it to look.
Right. And maybe they explained why it looks that way. It just didn't seem to have any rules or logic around it.
I don't need an explanation for why it looks that way. It would be like asking why anything in the Guillermo del Toro versions looks the way it does. It's just because that's how he decided he wanted it to look.
I guess. I feel like it had... Guillermo del Toro stuff had more thought behind it. Like,
yeah, probably.
If this, like, if
I mean, he's a better filmmaker than Neil Marshall is, for sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess I'm confused why you're overthink, because like I'm sure the script just says she channels the spirit, and that's like that can look like anything. It can look like somebody putting, you know, like somebody just kind of, you know, rolling their eyes back and like this ghostly apparition appears, or it can look fucking metal.
Well, I guess that's it, again, the Guillermo del Toro Hellboy, they start with, okay, here's the real world. And then they introduce a person who knows the real world into this crazier world. And they slowly introduce you to more and more aspects of that world that are insane and weird.
Mm-hmm.
And her vomiting out this demon thing, like, it was one of those things where it just sort of... this might have been a bad example to start from, just the demon sequence.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where it was like, is this supposed to be how ghosts look? Is this supposed to be how psychics are? Is she being, like, demonically possessed? Is it a dark power? And then she just sort of like coughs up water, and so then I was just like, wait, was that ectoplasm? Is that her spit? Is she vomiting? Is it physically coming out of her stomach? It's such a weird choice.
It's cool. Very specific choice, yeah.
Exactly, but it's never explained why it's that.
I don't need it to be explained. I'm really confused why you're hung up on that, and also why,
because it's so random.
If you understand the world from the first two movies, and you're pointing out that the first Hellboy movie does the job of slowly introducing you into this world, it's like, why do you need this film to do it for you again? Isn't that sort of like,
well, because this is a new take on the world. This isn't a third Hellboy movie. It's not a third Hellboy movie,
but I'm saying it's like to me, it's a little like getting mad at a Batman movie for not showing his parents get shot again. It's like, we don't need to do this work again.
No, but like, this is like if Batman had like an insane new gadget that I couldn't figure out how it worked or why he had it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's one of those things where it's like, I get this is a magical world, but it just kept throwing random shit like that. And at a certain point, it was like, this doesn't feel like the person who made it was thinking of the rules of this world.
Is your problem,
and it's just throwing really cool looking shit at me, and it's just all over the place.
Is your problem that it doesn't seem internally consistent?
I guess it doesn't. It didn't seem like they cared. Like, it didn't seem like they cared to make it consistent, or they, again, like her learning that she can soul punch someone,
mm-hmm.
and then saying like, "Oh, the fairies gave me all sorts of powers." It's like, no. Fuck you, movie. Like, you can't give someone a wild card of powers that you can choose. That means if they made three more of these, she could just randomly have powers when it's convenient.
Sure.
And it's
it seems lazy.
And so, like, her random, like, doing that being like, because it starts with her being clairvoyant.
Yes.
And it's like, okay,
it's a
she's a psychic.
Spirit medium,
I know.
They tell
yeah,
us,
and
yeah.
It's like, okay, I know the rules. And then she vomits up a corpse. Huh, that's new. And then she soul punches people, and it's like, okay. And then she's like, yeah, it's those fairies. And it's like, you should have established that the fairies gave you power before, and you should have given me rules to what those powers were. Instead, you're like, that's not a psychic power anymore, punching someone's soul out. And so again, it feels like a child making up powers. And it does. So yes, in a way, it does feel like the internal logic, the internal world, is inconsistent in that it's just fucking whatever. It's just whatever is cool.
Yeah. I'll agree with that more than I'll agree with the spirit medium stuff. Like,
that was just part of it. It was just
the channeling thing is just like, yeah, she's channeling a spirit. This is what it looks like.
I guess.
But the soul punching thing, I'll agree with. I will say, at the very least, they had the respect to have her be surprised about it. It's not like in Pacific Rim where halfway through they're like, use the sword. And they're like, yeah, you're right. It's like, you knew about the sword the whole time?
Like, but it also still seems insulting for them to point it out in a joke, because that's something that I at least, like when they did it in the Avengers and stuff like that, when they're like, isn't this funny? It's them pointing out how bad their writing is.
Yeah.
It's her saying, wow, that was surprising. And then just being like, I don't know, the fairies gave me all sorts of powers. Like, she literally says, I don't know. And it was just like, oh, man.
Sure.
That is a bummer.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair criticism.
Yeah. And I guess what I mean about the soul thing is that, like, they introduce her as clairvoyant. She's talking to her dead parents in the room.
Uh-huh.
And so I was just like, okay, this is what she does. And so when she goes to that psychic and she vomits out the thing, it was confusing, but I thought, I was trying to justify it. I was like, oh, maybe it's because they're two psychics or something and she's channeling. But then she does it for Ian McShane too. Yeah. And it was like, why didn't she, like, if they're introducing her as a clairvoyant and talking to, like, nothing.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I thought that's how she would talk to these dead people later, or, like, you know, her eyes would roll in the back. So it's like, it's jarring and weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that kind of, to me, symbolizes a lot of the albeit cool stuff in it, where, like, Mila Jovovich is a good example. I didn't know what her powers were. I didn't know what she, I just knew she was like a witch queen.
She's a sorceress. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. I didn't know what the rules were to that.
She teleports.
I don't know.
She teleports. She crushes people. She's got, like, force pushing things. She has honestly pretty standard magic powers. It's like, yeah, I understand what
I guess those aren't bad.
She doesn't do anything that was, like, truly baffling, in fairness.
No.
Like, it's like, okay, she's like a powerful sorceress. This all checks. Like, right. This all tracks.
Who can only be killed by Excalibur.
And she wasn't even killed. That's, like, the only thing that can, like, dismember her, apparently.
Right.
She just throws her head into hell at the end.
Right.
God damn it.
A terrible, terrible line. When
pretty greatly terrible.
Yeah.
It's so bad. I think it's just a matter of how much you're willing to give this movie. Like, how much you're willing to... Because it feels like you were very much trying to... I don't know. Like we said earlier, it's you either like what's happening on screen or you don't. You clearly didn't.
So. I liked a lot of the visuals, but
sure.
I don't think this movie met me halfway. It was jarring from the start. Like, that first scene made me go, oh, whoa.
I don't know. And I get it. I don't know if it's because I had read the comics before, but not a lot. Like, I don't have a lot of memory of the comics. I know the Were Cheetah guy. I know he's a character, but I don't remember anything about. Like, I couldn't remember anything about him. When he showed up, I was like, "Oh, I remember this guy." Don't remember what his deal is.
Right.
So I'm not sure if it's that, but it's like I didn't have the pro. Like, when I watched the movie, I didn't feel like it wasn't meeting me halfway. So I think it just. I don't know. It just depends on how much you're willing to give the movie.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, I don't know. I didn't.
I mean, you have agreed with me that the writing is bad. Terrible.
Yeah, it's a very clunky movie.
And so I think the movie is only going to get, like, I mean, I never, we've talked about this before. there's nothing wrong with liking a movie, and I never want someone to not like a movie because of what I tell them.
Sure.
But this feels like a movie that the more you get used to the stuff that you liked, which was the imagery, which was the fighting, the less this movie is going to matter to you, because the core story, the characters, there's really nothing there.
Not really.
And it's pretty clunky. So, like a movie like Fury Road, which has some metal as fuck imagery, has a plot that's like really, it's simple, but it's really effective. It has characters that I sympathize with and I relate to, and I want to see win. This just didn't have that for me. It just had the cool imagery, which was cool.
This is a very, very different beast too. You're also comparing it to one of the best movies ever made.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what I'm saying? Where it's
I understand what you're saying. Yeah,
Hellboy as a character, it didn't really, or like the relationships between the characters, it was all very superficial.
Exactly. Yeah, I will agree with that. Yeah. The movie doesn't give you much depth to these characters. You either like Hellboy because you like Hellboy, or you don't, because there's not much, like, they don't give you any new information about him in this film.
Yeah.
And I mean, I like David Harbour, but he's not like exploring the depths of this character. He's just playing Hellboy.
That was the biggest shame, because I was so excited that David Harbour, and the scenes I was imagining was like Ron Perlman with all the kittens, his literal like saving many cats moments.
Yeah, so many cats.
And they don't give him really much to do in terms of being likable in this. And they, like, remember when he's like going out stalking that guy and on his date with the child?
Throws a rock at his head.
Yeah, there was some great shit in that character-wise. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't seem like they'd had that.
Not much. The flashback with the changeling is pretty funny to me.
Yeah, there was a couple lines. David Harbour is great in this.
Yeah, he's just great. Yeah.
It's more about the writing than what was the line? I don't know. I'll have to come back to it. There was a couple lines he said that made me laugh. That was just like, oh, that was really great. He's great. Again, all the actors, all the people are great.
Yeah.
It's just
you either like them or you don't, because there's not much, the writing is not there. So it's like, I 100% agree. It's all the characters are very superficial.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you're either into it or you're not.
Yeah. And I think
they don't give you anything extra to work with.
Yeah. This for me is a movie that I would definitely watch in the background, because it has some really good visuals and it's made by a really good director. But like, as we talked about in Hypecast, there was a lot of production problems. And you can sort of see them in the movie, in the sense that it feels very cobbled together. And it doesn't, it doesn't start till 30, 35 minutes
It has three beginnings.
Yeah.
I will say, you get to, there's two sequences that I counted, the more memorable one being the giant sequence where Neil Marshall does that thing that he famously did on the Game of Thrones episode that he was nominated for an Emmy for, where it's not really a single take, but it is presented as such.
Like, and it
was really cool. Yeah. The entire giant fight is a single take, in quotes, because obviously they mask some cuts with CG, but it's cool. It has a nice flow and action to it.
Yeah. They do one sequence. Cut like halfway through when the giant hits him across. It didn't matter. It's all very.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a cool rhythm to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really neat. Oh, yeah, that's another... That does remind me of another thing. Is I also didn't know how vulnerable Hellboy was, because he gets stabbed through the heart. Mm-hmm. And electrocuted and stabbed multiple times.
Yes.
And then just sort of gets up and fights giants. I don't think I ever felt... I never felt like it was... He was in danger, which, and now that I'm saying it, is kind of the point, because he's the danger at the end.
He's basically invulnerable. I think they cover that in the first two, the Guillermo del Toro ones.
Yeah, they kind of do in that too. Although I felt like he was more in danger in the first two. Or I guess it's more, you know what I think it more is that in the first two, I liked the human characters. So I was worried about their safety.
Sure. More. Yeah, I mean, realistically, you're never worried about the main character in a superhero film. So, like,
yeah, like if a nuke goes off, it would just be Hellboy standing there, like, oh no, my friends.
Pretty much, he'd be naked. Yeah. It'd have burned his pants off. But.
Yeah, and I'd feel really bad.
Yeah, on all of his cats.
He definitely has the Thor thing where Thor, like, all this stuff to him, like, yeah, it matters, but he's also going to live to be, like, I don't know how long, how, like, a couple thousand years old.
Probably, so conservative estimate, yeah.
Yeah, these humans to him are just, like, a cute little detour on his very long life. That's the same
hamsters.
With Hellboy. Yeah.
Little pet hamsters.
Yeah. It's like if your hamsters had a war and you helped fight.
You just wade into it. Fine, I'll get in this.
And you dated one of the hamsters briefly.
Hell yeah.
And then you're like, this is weird because you're a hamster. Yeah. Sorry.
But only if you make it weird. Only if you make it weird.
Yeah, that's true. Only if you make it weird. Yeah, I guess I don't have anything more to say about this.
I don't. I really fucking enjoyed this movie, and I did not expect to.
Yeah, this is going to be a real puzzle for people listening to this to decide if you're going to watch this or not. Because I'm going to give it the biggest kind of insult is that, like I said, I was shifting in my seat a lot of it too. Like, when it wasn't the action sequences, I was sort of, like, bored.
I didn't have that problem, but...
All right.
I mean, shit. It's a real Siskel and Ebert moment for us.
I know. I'm excited.
Yeah.
This is exciting. It doesn't happen that often. And it's good when it does.
Yeah, this is just like a grimy pulp horror action comic.
Right.
With all the good and bad things about that.
Well, that's the thing is I agree with you. That is what it is. Mm. I just didn't think it was a very good one.
Sure, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. And I couldn't get past it.
Like, I don't super love the first Hellboy. Like, I like a lot of things about it.
Right.
But the Golden Army is real good.
Yeah, I remember that being real good. I really want to watch both of them now. This definitely invigorated me. Like, halfway through the movie, had I not been watching this for a podcast, I probably would have got up and left and go watch the Guillermo del Toro ones.
That's fair.
Because I, like, started to be like, man, like, those are great. And I started thinking about them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, again, I'm not nuts about the first one, but I really do like the second Guillermo del Toro one.
Yeah. I like, I agree with you on that. Like, I like the first one all right, but I remember not being, like, I remember coming into the sequel being like, all right, I guess. Like, I don't know why we need another one, but it was post Guillermo del Toro has all the power now.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, yeah.
And it didn't have, I think part of the success of the second movie is that it didn't have the clunky bits of having to slowly introduce you to this world.
Because
the second movie just
still introduces
starts.
You to new world stuff, though.
It introduces you to some stuff, but, like, you're already on board. So, like, you don't need to know why Hellboy has glasses that can see the troll market. He's just got them.
Right. Well, it's like Star Wars. It's that thing of, like... Yeah, we're in the second movie now. We can introduce things because we know what kind of world we're in. Yeah,
we built the world. Now let's see what we can do with it.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
That second one's a lot of fun to me.
Yeah, I enjoy the second one.
Yeah. So watch Hellboy 2. You can watch this new one. I don't know, guys.
I'm not gonna. What we're gonna say as to whether or not you, the listener, should. Watch this. So I guess if you're a long time listener of this podcast and you found yourself leaning towards one of us over the other in terms of what you agree with,
there's your answer. I will say that it is graphically violent.
Oh yeah, is that like, is the comic graphically violent?
Not really. I mean, it's much more stylized.
I was looking at audience reviews, and some people were like, yeah, it's violent like the comics. And I was like, I didn't...
I mean, the comics are dark, but they're not, like, gory, if that makes sense. At least not super gory.
Yeah.
There's some gore, but it's never, like, It's never like excessive, or it's more about like shadows. And if you're aware of Mike Mignola's style, then you know what that is.
Yeah. Can I read a Rotten Tomatoes review?
Please.
A 5-star. We're doing a. Where how did this get made?
Where how did this get mating it? All right.
Critics are dickheads and have no clue what a good movie is. Get your priorities straight. Hellboy is gruesome and amazing, and it has an amazing story and some great twists. It's a movie setting up the rest of the franchise, so don't listen to these old... This is why I'm reading this. I don't care about anything. So don't listen to these old-timers with no taste other than the Titanic. Watch this movie. It's worth every minute.
What?
I'm not insulting anybody who likes this movie. It's just what?
They only like Titanic?
Yeah. What a weird fucking thing to say.
And not even Titanic? The Titanic?
Yeah.
Are you referring to the ship?
That's the old timers, yeah.
Yeah, the old timers. Like, you know, those 120 year olds who only like the Titanic.
Yeah, that was the only entertainment, is watching the Titanic.
Watching the Titanic, getting their Titanic trading cards, hanging up posters of the Titanic.
Oh, shit.
Well, that's funny.
Yeah, that's a fun review.
But yeah, there's a scene. I had to alert my brother to this. Because he has a kid and he's sensitive to it. There is child eating in this.
Yeah, that was my favorite part.
There is a child stew and you see it.
Yeah, and you see the children hung up.
Yeah, in the background. Yeah.
Yeah, that was my favorite part, is the Baba Yaga.
Because the fucking metal.
What made the Baba Yaga great to me was that it was a folklore tale, the kind you read about. Mm-hmm. It's like it comes and eats the kids. But like those folklore tales were always very sanitized. It was Hansel and Gretel, where it's like, oh, mm-hmm. the witch wants to eat you, but they push her in. They never show children on hooks. Like, they never show the logistics of like, yeah, mm-hmm. no, you club the child's head and then you have to cut off the meat mm-hmm. and you get the good part and then you put it into a stew and you mm-hmm. eat it. And we're mm-hmm. seeing that. And so
yeah,
I liked seeing the creepy goblin of lore in action.
In her chicken leg house, which is pretty dope.
Yeah. Which was, that's a thing, right? Because I've seen that in multiple.
Yeah. That is from the folklore, from Russian folklore.
Okay. Yeah, it's a great imagery, that chicken mm-hmm. leg house. Man, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. We've talked enough about this. I was trying to think of how to make this work, because I really liked... Yeah, I like him trekking through folklore that's done in a very... Not like a gritty Hansel and Gretel witch hunters way, but gritty in like this way.
This is what it would be, yeah. And let's make this witch look truly horrifying.
Yeah.
Which I think, they do a good job with.
Yeah. I think there was a lot of... good imaginations here. I think they chose the wrong story to tell, and the wrong writer,
I think,
or the wrong producer someone ended up butchering a lot of this. Because if it was just like almost like a ship in a bottle type episode where like it's Hellboy on some adventure through folklore, mm-hmm. and it's like he just has to get from A to B, or he just has to get this thing. Mm-hmm. And they didn't do the like sort of plot from the first Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah.
Like I feel like they had to simplify it. Like I didn't need to know about his fucking lineage. Like
that was fucking insane.
Yeah. It was just like, man. You're also a descendant of King Arthur. We're Da Vinci coding this? Like
we sure
he's
are,
all
Dave.
He's
we sure
already
are.
From hell.
He has like, Tom Hanks hair.
Yeah. He does.
He sure does.
He should have been it should have been someone just, else was the descendant or something.
Put him in the Da Vinci Code. Just put David Harbour as Hellboy in the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah. Oh, I would watch the shit out of that.
I would watch that so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we've talked enough about Hellboy.
Yeah, I think so too. Thanks for listening, everybody. Sorry we...
Yeah.
I hope we were able to help some people.
It's just Dave and I arguing for an hour.
Yeah. They don't get it that often. They don't get
That's
us
true. We usually don't disagree that hard about something.
Yeah.
So, thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to head on over to our Patreon, we have patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed, where you can become a patron and get some cool exclusive shows.
Yeah, shows like Fox Mulder is a Maniac and Tom and Jeff Watch Batman. Great shows.
Wonderful shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, you guys know.
You guys know who we are and what we do.
You guys know who we are and what we're about.
If
what we're
you're
all
new,
about.
Fucking, yeah, welcome. This is a hell of a first episode to jump in.
Yeah.
But,
child
glad you're here.
Soup.
Yeah. Get that child soup in you.
Get that child stew up in you.
That's got to be hearty.
It's cold out. Yeah, it's like chunky stew. It's cold outside. It's filling. Mm-hmm. It's hot.
Yeah. Put some crackers on it.
Yeah, man. Get some of those.
Dip some bread.
I can't remember what they're called. Like the crab crackers?
Oyster crackers?
There you go.
Yeah, crumple some
oyster
crackers.
I knew it was some kind of shellfish.
Have a nice salad with it. Like you'd have, you could, in a restaurant, you'd have like a deal where you get like a nice big, like a real good roll, like a salad, some child soup, and maybe like some nice Earl Grey.
Olive Garden, unlimited child soup and breadsticks.
Yeah, I was thinking like a nice brunch, but yeah, Olive Garden. I could see really filling yourself up on child soup.
Just a hearty meal for not a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Not a lot.
Affordable.
Yeah, you can make them yourself. Mm-hmm. It's just time. It's how
super
much patience
easy
you have.
Yeah, it's you just get yourself a little carton of child stock.
Mm-hmm.
And you let that simmer for a while, and then you just add whatever you want to it.
Yeah. You got yourself a child soup.
You got yourself a child soup.